So if you feel like, you know, you don't have a chance to sing a special, you can do it any place. And God is well pleased with even the worst bullfrog in this congregation. He did say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. So if you would, if you turn to Isaiah 28, I got a call this week from the people who were putting in our sign. They said in about 2 weeks they'll be ready, but their concern was, how thick is the foundation? Because this is a huge sign, a lot of electronics, it's very heavy, and they want to know how thick is that pad, do you know? Brother Bailey, I don't know. It should be their responsibility to find out what the foundation is. And so I guess either I or somebody will have to dig down and find out if the foundation is strong enough in order to handle the sign, because there's nothing worse than a lopsided sign. You don't want the word going crooked. Isaiah 28, starting in verse number 9. This is familiar scripture to many of you. It says, whom shall we teach knowledge, and whom shall we make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Paul at one point says, you know what? I should be able to give you meat, but I'm still giving you milk. You know, you can't chew anything that's really strong yet. But you should desire meat, not just milk. For precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. See, the real refreshing, the real rest, the real intermission is the Spirit of God in us. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So what he's saying is, you know, you've made a covenant with lies. You've compromised. You've seen line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You've heard the preaching of the word and you have the Spirit of God, yet. So I've laid a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation that he that believeth shall not make haste. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word, God, that it would become alive in our lives, that we could apply it to every day. Amen. We'd be protected by it, comforted by it. Amen. We ask your anointing on it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Would you also turn to the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, and verse 48. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. So one day, each of us will be judged by one thing and one thing only. It's going to be based on the Word of God. Whether we know the Word of God or whether we don't know the Word of God, one day there'll only be one standard for judgment, and it will be in this book what it says. It really doesn't matter what my opinion is. It doesn't matter what every other pastor or minister or religious organization believes. And don't take this personal, but it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. It's what God says that matters in the very end. Counterfeit money won't buy you anything, nor false doctrine gets you anywhere. There is no benefit in it. Retirement promises won't put you on a beach someplace. You have to put some money in the bank. You have to earn it in order to keep it. Jacob was promised Rachel, but after 7 years, when he expected to see the love of his life and marry the woman that he loved, well, Laban slipped in the older daughter, Leah, and Leah wasn't who he was in love with. So we find that there were promises made, and then later we find Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times. Well, I'm going to give you this, but then he changed his mind. I'm going to give you this, and then he changed his mind. You know, people are like that. They make commitments, and it only lasts as long as their convictions, as long as it doesn't compromise what they really want to do. That's the way the human race is. But God isn't like that, folks. Hallelujah. When he says something, he means it. Amen. You can take it to the bank. You can believe it. It's going to happen. Amen. Would you turn to Genesis chapter 31? Genesis chapter 31, and starting in verse number 5, it says, "And said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me." See, your employer may say, you know what, in 6 months I'm going to give you a 20% raise. And then 6 months comes and your employer may decide, you know, I don't think I'll do that. But see, you have somebody over your employer. He said unto him, I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be my wages, then all of the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringshank shall be thy hire, then bear all of the cattle ringshank. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. God has a way of taking things from those who are ungodly and giving them. You see, when Israel left Egypt, all of what Egypt had, they gave to them when they left. They came in poor and they left rich. We come in here poor and we leave rich, folks. Hallelujah. You can't imagine how wealthy you are. I am so glad that God doesn't change his mind or go back on his promises based on my performance. Romans 11 and 29 says, for the gift and calling of God is without repentance. So it isn't based on my performance or my evaluation. When God decides, I've got something special for you, he will not change his mind. He's waiting for you to change your mind. God is not going to change his mind about us, but what he will do is change us to conform to his will. He will cause us to want to do the things that he has already planned in our life. Glory to God. Could you turn to Numbers? This is Wednesday. Could you turn to Numbers 23? Numbers 23 and verse number 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Has God ever told you about something that he's going to do in your life? And maybe you haven't seen it yet. I'm talking to somebody here tonight. And you know what? You just still haven't seen it happen. You know what? You need to circle this scripture, underline it, bold it, you see, because if God said it, it is going to happen. You don't have to worry about it. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change his mind. Amen. Malachi, the third chapter, it's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 3 and verse number 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Hebrews 13 and 8 says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." God is not going to change his mind. He was merciful yesterday. He'll be merciful today, you see. We may not be able to depend on a lot of constants in our life, but God will never change. He is a sure foundation. He is a rock. Amen. He is the rock. Hallelujah. Could you turn to Ephesians, the second chapter? And verse number 19. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all of the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So we are built on a foundation. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ, but it's also the apostles and the prophets. It's all the Word of God. And then 1 Corinthians 3. And verse number 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." So, well, you do it your way, and I'll do it my way. No, that's not Bible. God has always been very specific about what he wants and how he's going to build. It's just not any old way. The tabernacle, specific. The temple, specific. The church is specific. He's telling us exactly the way the church should be. The scripture tells us that we are built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Two things that are vital to building God's church: the truth of the apostles and the knowledge that Jesus is God. He said he was going to build his church. Matthew 16 and 18, it says, "And I say also unto thee that upon that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So there is no way that we can build a church or even call ourselves a church if we don't have the foundation of Jesus Christ, knowing he is God. What was the rock that Jesus was going to build his church on? It was Peter's revelation of one God, and there is none other. Let's look at Acts 4 and 10. Acts chapter 4, verse number 10. "Be it known unto you all and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the foundation of the church. If you don't have the foundation, it's going to crack. It's going to crumble. It will not be stable. It will not have the gifts of the Spirit. You will not see the move of God. You will not see the miraculous. So a church cannot be built on any other foundation than the apostles' truth and the oneness of God. Not reaching out to the needs of the community, that's not going to build. This is not a social center. This is a place where the truth of God's word is preached and people are converted, and there's a foundation that is started in each and every one of us. It's not through programs that appeal to the needs of people or the entertainment of people. It's not the fellowship of the saints, and it's good to have fellowship, but the church is all about foundational truths that are taught not just once in your life, but over and over again. It must be built on the truth of God's word and the application of the truth to your life. You can't just hear the truth and not apply the truth to your life. Otherwise, you're going to become a frustrated saint because you have to have the application. You see, just knowing that you need a foundation is different than digging deep and getting a foundation. I don't understand. I'm struggling with things, and the pastor hasn't preached what I really need for the last several weeks. Well, God gave you a book. You can dig in this book. I mean, we all have more than one of these, or at least most of us have more than, we have Bible programs. I've got 6 Bible programs on my iPad, on my phone, on my computer. If I want to know what the original Greek is and what the original Hebrew is, and I want to chain reference, it's so easy for me to do a study and get deeper and deeper and deeper and get a foundation in any area of my life that I have any kind of question, and God will show us what the truth of his word really is. Every week we teach truth from this pulpit to establish the apostles' doctrine and that Jesus is God. This doesn't happen overnight. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and that's the purpose of preaching every week, 3 times a week, that you're getting some solid food and understanding of what really is valuable in your life. Every day we're inundated by everything that goes on in the world. Every day we go to a job and we're inundated with the lifestyle and the doctrines of other people, whether it's socialism or whether it's humanism or whatever it is. Everybody believes in something. Everybody has a religion to a certain extent. But when we come in here, many times I've said, thank God I'm among normal people again. People who believe and espouse the same thing that I espouse, because sometimes, you know, you come up against these things. Oh, it's not important. No, no, you don't understand. I have a foundation. I know what's important. Hallelujah. It's establishing a foundation for building a life pleasing to God. Everyone decides on how they will build their walk with God, whether it's going to be haphazardly or, you know, not according to the word of God. Well, I feel, well, really your feelings aren't going to make a whole lot of difference for your retirement. You know? Well, I want a good retirement. Well, I haven't done anything in order to work for it. I haven't dug deep. I haven't built anything. I don't have anything substantial if something happens to me. No, I've got a God that's a rock, and if I have a problem, I can pray for myself, and I know something is going to happen. It's the real deal. Hallelujah. I don't want the counterfeit because I know the counterfeit doesn't produce. I came out of the counterfeit, and I'm going to hold on to that which is real. Would you turn to Luke, the 6th chapter, please? Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. Jesus said, And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man that builds a house and diggeth deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruins of that house was great. So don't give me doctrine. Don't keep preaching that same thing to me. Okay, but when the storms come, when the problems end up at your door, all of a sudden, everything collapses because you don't have a foundation. We need a foundation. Hallelujah. Those people who come into this truth but don't lay down a good foundation of obedience to the Word of God eventually are swept away by a flood of lies and mistaken truths. And they can be persuaded by anybody that this isn't important. And that, let me ask you, if 40 years ago when I came into the church, there were certain truths that were vital to my salvation, just because 40 years have gone by, does that mean they're nil effect, that they're not important any longer? We're in a different stage of life. Yes, the world has changed, but the church is not supposed to change just because the world has changed. We can't keep pace with the world, just, you know, stay at least an arm's length away from them. And then eventually what's going to happen is when we really need God, when we really need a healing, when we really need protection, when we really need financial blessing, when we really need something from God, all of a sudden it's not there. Misjudgments, not based on what the Word of God actually says, a compromise. The ministry is for the main purpose of establishing a foundation for the church. So every time you hear the preaching of God's Word, it's reestablishing for the first time or maybe the 50th time, this thing is important. Well, I don't think it's important. Well, you haven't been hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And God says, faith is nothing without some kind of actions. I'll show you my faith by my works. So if you really believe it, then you'll do it or do something in concordance with it. Turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, please. Ephesians 4, starting in verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we have the ministry. It's for the edifying and the perfecting of the saints. I'm sorry, but I hear all the time, you know, I've been baptized, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and now I'm just going to live my life by myself, and I don't need to be preached to all the time. I've heard that message. You know, you need to hear the message over and over and over again. You know, when I was a kid, my mother, you know, I was a wonderful child, but every once in a while, my mother would have to say, "Don't you do that," you know. And unfortunately, she'd have to say, "Don't you do that. Don't you do that," until finally it resonated with my spirit, and I got the idea that, you know, I'm in the process of training this huge dog that has taken over our house, you know, and we have just planted flowers, and he loves flowers. She loves eating flowers. I don't know why she loves eating flowers, but I find the flowers everywhere in the yard. had a Bible study last night, and we were all in the living room. She is located in the kitchen, and I heard some noise, and it sounded a little different than any other noise that I've heard from this dog. And I came, and there she is on top of the counter eating the chocolate cake. You know. So I had to establish a foundation with this dog that we do not eat chocolate cake off of the counter, you know. Glory to God. And I'm establishing something in the church every time I stand up here, every time an evangelist, every time a missionary comes. And it all compounds to make us who God wants us to be. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, where do you get your edification from? How long should we do this? Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we're going to keep doing this until we're perfect, keep preaching until God takes us out of here in a perfect body. Why? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Well, the only way we can be deceived is that we don't have a foundation of the Word of God in us. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, every person, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we're helping one another in order to have that foundation and unity that we have to stand against the world and stand against false doctrine, preaching and reestablishing principles and doctrines over and over, so we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, we're living in an age where nothing is absolute anymore, and preachers aren't absolute anymore. And, well, I'm not sure if it really, God's sure, why shouldn't we be sure? Hallelujah. There's a lot of deception out there. No one can deceive me because I laid down a foundation. And once a sure foundation is laid, then the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. We need to encourage one another to follow the foundation, the Word of God, that maketh increase of the body. No foundation, the building won't last. The body won't grow. It will be just a revolving door of people who espouse this or that. You know, your ideas are nice and your ideas are nice, and there won't be any real foundation. There won't be any real truth. Who will come for a while and leave when hard things are said. You see, you can't offend anybody if they have a foundation, you see. Doesn't work. You know, and when the new convert comes in, you can't offend a new convert because they're so full of the Holy Ghost, they just want to please God. But if we don't get line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, if we're not established over and over again, then one day somebody will offend you and you'll walk out of here because that's just a hard saying. I can't handle it. But it's all, you know, contingent upon getting the blessings of God and the protection of God. First the foundation, and then the building. It never works any other way. You can't build without a foundation. You know, it was a long, tedious process to prepare a foundation for this new addition. I was here every day. I saw what they did, how far down they had to dig and keep digging until they got to undisturbed soil, and then they put hundreds of yards of concrete. There were days of putting up forms and concrete walls with steel reinforcing rods every few inches, special build-out walls for the laminated beams that we have so they would never move, steel plates and connecting rods and anchors for the roof, hundreds of yards of concrete poured while the walls were being vibrated so there wouldn't be any voids in the foundation. There wouldn't be any gaps anywhere. We don't have a lower level under the foyer, but they had to drill down 12 feet with augers and fill them with concrete at a cost of like $12,000, you know, just so that concrete base would not move. And everyone who walks in says, "Oh, I just love your foundation." You know? See, we wanna get this thing going. We wanna get as many people in here as we possibly can. So let's just skip the foundation. You see? Let's not talk about holiness. Let's not talk about separation. Let's not talk about those things that, you know, nobody really needs to see. God looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the outside. That's not what the Bible says, you see. And so it's important that we have a body and a foundation. So why am I telling you all of this? Because our new addition needed a good foundation, and thank God for building inspectors who can identify whether the foundation is right or not. There was somebody here all the time, and they had special gauges to put on the foundation to see whether or not there was enough PSI. They could tell if it was going to hold or it would not hold. And so if you don't have that, one day, the roof may start to crumble and the walls may start to move and people could get hurt. Did you know that heaven has a building inspector? His name is Jesus. He checks every service to see if our foundation is still holding. He does. He's the greatest inspector. He sometimes puts pressure on to see whether or not the foundation is going to hold. God comes around us to see how our foundation is holding. Did we put enough time and effort into the apostles' doctrine in order to keep the foundation where it is? 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." It's building a sure foundation. I'm glad that we have a God that cares enough to do foundation inspections on a regular basis, because if there are any cracks in the foundation, what's going to happen is one day you won't have salvation anymore. It'll show up in your praise or lack of. All of a sudden, something will start shaking and something will start cracking and something just won't work the way it used to. You put up your hands, but you're not feeling anything anymore because the foundation has slipped. So the question that we need to answer is, where do we want to put your investment? You know, and I can tell you that every Monday I wrote up big checks for the addition, and some of the biggest checks, I think over $200,000, maybe even $300,000, was in what we'll never see here, but this building won't move. Would you turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter? Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Not many investments are guaranteed today, but God does guarantee his investments in eternal life. You will never, ever be shortchanged because you conform to the Word of God. Just will never. I talked to Brother Putnam, and he told me about a building in New York City that is 60 stories high that has several huge cracks on the 60th floor. And so they sent in engineers, and they couldn't understand. I mean, it was a relatively new building, but they couldn't understand how could there be cracks on the 60th floor. I had an attorney who was in the First Wisconsin Center. I don't know what it's called. I think it's U.S. Bank now. It's the tallest building in Milwaukee. And this law firm had the top three floors, and they had a spiral staircase going from the top floor down to the third floor that they had. And I noticed when I was there, Foley and Lardner is the name of the attorneys, that they had this beautiful chandelier that went from the highest floor down to the lowest floor, three stories, but they had to take nylon, like fishing line, and tie the chandelier to the walls. And I said, what's the deal here? And they said, well, when it's a windy day, that chandelier would go back and forth and hit one side to the other because the building literally sways 3 feet in the wind. I think it's like a 40-story building. Well, this building in New York, not only did it sway, but it cracked. And engineers couldn't figure out why, because it was done according to the architecture. And they found out that there was a maintenance man who was down in the lower level taking concrete blocks out of a wall in the basement because he had a project at home. And every night he'd take a couple of concrete blocks. Like, who's going to miss the concrete blocks? Church, there may be people who have their own little pet projects. They just take a little bit out of the foundation. These things aren't relevant to us anymore. Oh, these are not salvational. Well, they're sanctifying, and it has to be a sanctification in order to keep salvation. And what you might not think is really going to be relevant to the overall statue and stableness of the church, you're wrong. Because God's the architect. We are not the architect. We can't decide what's right and what's wrong. We can't decide how much should go into the foundation, how much shouldn't. Hallelujah. How does it relate to us? Well, could we be taking away from the foundation to build our own little pet project? Less prayer, less church, less praise. And then you notice a crack at the top. Our walk gets a little shaky. Things we once stood firm for now just doesn't seem to be an issue any longer. I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost that does the inspection even in the middle of the night. Tests the foundation. And I'm glad I'm in a church that still believes in a sure foundation. Because my Bible tells me that in the end, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And if I'm going to shake, I'd rather shake under the influence of the Holy Ghost than under a problem that I have. Amen. Years ago, I remember being in Acapulco on about the eighth floor of a hotel. It was early in the morning, and all of a sudden, all of the windows in the hotel were shaking. I mean, they were really loud. I thought they were going to fall out of the frames. And I called down to the desk, and I says, "What was that? I mean, is there something wrong with the building?" He says, "Oh, Mr. Schumacher, that was just the earthquake, you know." Like it happens every other week, you know. It's just an earthquake. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not uncommon to have earthquakes in the church. And there may be a little shaking going on. But I'll tell you, don't worry about it. We've got a master builder. Would you stand with me, please? God's been good. Really been good. He's been so good to me. I can't let him down. I can't let him down. He's been so good to me. Hallelujah. I don't deserve it. But like Samuel said to Saul, it's better to obey than it is to sacrifice. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if you follow the rules, you'll never be wanting. You never have to worry about being alone. You know that the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. He has a special plan for your life. It's just a matter of conforming to his image before he'll reveal those things to you. Amen. So keep on keeping on. Don't be shaken. The altar's open. Would you come? Like a dream.